We'll turn again to the prophecy of Habakkuk. Prophecy of Habakkuk, chapter 1. With our Bibles open, let us just seek the face of the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we still ourselves in Thy presence. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank Thee that He who has blessed us in the past will also bless us today and will always bless us as we seek His face. We pray that Thou wilt draw near to us and minister to our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt fill us with Thy Spirit and give us, Lord, grace to speak and grace to hear and to obey Thy word. We ask Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to draw your attention this afternoon to the opening words of this prophecy. Words which center upon the prayer of this prophet. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and Thou wilt not hear? Prayer was a very important part of Habakkuk's life. In fact, as you noticed, I'm sure, the last chapter is called A Prayer of Habakkuk the Prophet. Prayer forms an important part of the life of every believer. Before the Apostle Paul's Damascus Road conversion, he belonged to the strictest sect of the Pharisees in his day. And we know, of course, the Pharisees, they put on a great show of religion. And the Savior said Himself that they loved to pray in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets to be seen of men. And for a pretense, they made long prayers. These are the kind of people. This is the kind of people that Paul belonged to before his conversion. But after Paul's Damascus Road conversion, the Apostle Paul started to pray as he never prayed before. The man of God who was asked to go and find the Apostle Paul, this is how this new believer was identified, the Apostle Paul. The Lord says to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." The Apostle Paul, who once was a Pharisee, who once for a pretense made long prayers, had now received a change in his life. He was now a Christian. He was now a praying Christian. Every Christian ought to be a praying Christian. We can't live in this world without air to breathe. Neither can we live for Christ in this world without prayer. Prayer had become an important part of Paul's life. It had become an important part of Habakkuk's life. And it ought to be an important part of all of our lives, brother and sister. It is an important sign of a change in your life. It is a sign that you are a believer. It is a sign that you know God, that you belong to God, that you're in fellowship with God. And we want to take a look at Habakkuk here, this child of God, this believer, in action, in the attitude of prayer. And the first thing that we notice here is Habakkuk's experience. Habakkuk may have been an Old Testament prophet. The Apostle Paul may have been a New Testament apostle. But both of these men were ordinary men. Prayer was for them just as it is for every believer. It was a struggle. Remember what was said of Elijah in James chapter 5 and verse 17, that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And that literally means that he was affected just the same way we are affected in the place of prayer. That he had the same feelings that we have in the place of prayer. The same doubts, the same fears, the same struggles. When these men of God prayed, Habakkuk and Paul and others that we might like to remember, they were not supermen. They struggled just as we do. They had the same feelings and doubts and fears just as we do. Notice Habakkuk's prayer here in verse 2. Listen to his words. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Here's a man struggling in the place of prayer. We can identify with him. Can you not identify with him, brother and sister, this morning? Listen to his words. Listen. Imagine his struggle. How long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? He is, of course, not charging God. He is simply concerned with his situation. He is like David in that psalm which we sung, Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long? How long? How long? And Habakkuk, he is in the same frame of mind. He has the same feelings. He has the same struggles in the place of prayer. How long? How long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? He is concerned because God does not hear. And what he means by this is it seems that God is not doing anything. There is no change. There is no action. How long is this going to continue, he says. How long? Imagine other familiar characters in the Bible feeling the same in their situation when Elijah was on Mount Carmel. Remember how many times he prayed, and you could imagine him and especially his servant who came back to him and said that there was nothing, and he prayed again and there was nothing, and he prayed again and there was nothing. You can imagine Elijah crying to God, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Remember Hannah, how she went up to the temple year by year, and she was very much afflicted, she was anxious, she was concerned year by year. The widow woman who met the unjust judge in Luke 18, it speaks of her continual coming. You can imagine her going home again before the Lord and saying, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? The woman of Syrophoenicia who came to the Savior with the need of her child, and the response that she got from the Savior, and the delay, and how long she waited. And the man who came to his friend's door and knocked upon his door at midnight and kept knocking until he got everything that he needed. You can imagine him standing there knocking upon the door. How long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? The Scripture is full of these examples. Habakkuk included. All of us who are in the habit of prayer, brethren and sisters, we are anxious for an answer. And often we would take the words of Habakkuk and we would say, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? We know what it is like to struggle in the place of prayer. Many of us here have been praying for a long time. We've been praying for years, for decades, perhaps for certain matters, for loved ones, for our situation, whatever it may be. It hasn't changed. This is the common experience of many believers. We can pray for a long time. Whatever our situation may be, whatever size it is, whatever the seriousness of the situation, we continue and we're concerned how long it is we have to pray and how little there seems to be done. Habakkuk. It is evident that he is concerned with the length of time he has had to pray about his present situation. But notice this one thing, that he's still praying. He's still praying. He's still holding on to God in prayer. And that's a marvelous thing. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's a commendable thing. He's still praying. That is one of the reasons why his name is so significant. You know, the name Habakkuk literally means a strong embrace. He's like Jacob, who struggled, who held on to God in prayer and would not let him go until he would bless him. He had him in a strong embrace. He wrestled, he struggled, he held on in prayer. And you know, brethren and sisters, that is what the Savior wants all of us to do. In spite of the struggle that we have in prayer, men ought always to pray and not to faint. God wants you, brother and sister, to hold on, to continue to pray. And this includes the woman, of course, too. He is speaking there of mankind in general. Because when he uses those words, he proceeds to give an example of a woman in prayer. And so this means all of us, men and women, brethren and sisters, continue to pray like Habakkuk, even though it is a struggle, even though there seems to be nothing happening, and it only seems to be, because God is always working behind the scenes. And we can thank God. It is a struggle. It was a struggle for Habakkuk. And it was also a burden. Look at how the prophecy opens. It is the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And then he expresses his burden. O Lord, how long? How long shall I cry? It is a burden. This is an expression, the burden which the Old Testament prophets often used. And it had to do with their message, and it also had to do with their desire. A burden, a desire. Habakkuk had this burden, this desire in his heart for God to do something. And that is why he continued in prayer and would not let go until God would bless him, because he had a burden. The present situation in Israel, in their decline, in their apostasy, was a burden upon his soul. Brothers and sisters, all of us have some kind of burden pressing upon us as individuals that may not concern anyone else, but it concerns you, and it's a burden. But we don't always bring it to God. We carry it around ourselves. But God wants you to bring your burdens to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this, of course, is true in regard to the burden of sin. And sinner friend, in this meeting, if you're under the burden of sin, then Christ wants you to come with that burden of sin. And he will give you rest and peace and the joy of forgiveness of sins. But it also concerns the burden of grief. We ought to come to Christ with the burden of grief. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Is that not right? Is that not what we often sing? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything, even those little things that concern you, to God in prayer. Habakkuk had a burden on his heart, but as you can see, he brings it to the Lord. And he brings it time and time again. It is a long passage of time. But he brings it to the Lord. We mentioned Paul after his conversion. He started to pray. Paul also continued to pray. He was a man of prayer. He had a man who had a burden for prayer. And we remember those words in Romans chapter 9 and verse 10. He says, I say the truth in Christ that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He carried this burden upon his heart. He had this continual sorrow and heaviness and burden of prayer upon his heart. That his own kinsmen, his own loved ones might be saved. So did Habakkuk. These Old Testament and New Testament men of God, they struggled as we all do. They had a burden that they carried with them every hour of every day. Their prayers were not just some kind of religious ritual and some set time of prayer during the day. They had a burden. And their burden of prayer had long since overflowed the walls of their closet right out into their day. It was a way of life. They had this burden, this prayer. They longed for God to work and to save. I wonder, has this been your experience, brethren and sisters? How long have you prayed? There is some situation in your heart this morning. Perhaps only you know it. God also knows it. And it is a burden upon your heart. That particular situation, that particular individual. And it's weighing down upon your heart. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. You carry it with you every day. You bring it to the Lord often. It has become a burden. Your prayers are not just confined to the closet. Those prayers go on further beyond the closet. You carry them with you everywhere you go. You have this burden like Habakkuk, like Paul, is a continual heaviness and sorrow. Perhaps it is that someone might be saved. If we bring it right up to date, as we think of the mission approaching just within a few weeks' time, how many missions we have had in this part of the world? How many missions have we had since Ballyvay Mission? So many decades ago, we could count them, there would be more than we could count on both hands. Many, many missions, and yet we look at this individual and that individual, this loved one and that loved one, and they've passed through every mission after mission. We've cried to God, how long will I cry unto thee and thou wilt not hear? And they're still not saved, and it is a burden. Well then, brethren and sisters, you continue to pray. God has given you a burden for a purpose, and God will answer that prayer in His time. There are many other situations perhaps pressing upon your heart. They matter to God. But like Habakkuk, brethren and sisters, do not give up. Continue to pray. Men are always to pray, not to faint, because God will answer. Habakkuk's experience. Notice secondly, Habakkuk's encouragement. Habakkuk is living in dark days. He has nothing to encourage him. He is anxious. He is praying. What will he do? You remember King David, when he arrived back in Ziklag, the city was destroyed, his family had been taken, his men were about to stone him. What did he do in that situation? As he looked at the situation, we're told that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that is exactly what Habakkuk did. As we skip down the passage to verse 13, what does he say in the midst of his prayer? He looks to God and he cries out, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die." Habakkuk lifts his eyes from a situation to look to God, a sovereign God. The Old Testament prophets, if you read through their prophecies, you'll notice that they were often in the habit of looking away from their situation to God. Things were not working out for Israel the way that they used to because they were now in sin. And they would often have looked away from the situation to God, to an everlasting and unchangeable God, to encourage them and their people. Habakkuk turns to focus his eyes upon the Lord. "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die." He exalts God as the everlasting God. He honors him as the Holy One. He owns him as my Holy One. God is still the same. He's still the same to his people. He encourages himself in the Lord. He has looked after us in the past. This same God will look after us in the future. He will continue to care for us. "We shall not die," Habakkuk says. "We will not come to harm. God will look after us. No matter how dire the situation, no matter how long I have prayed, we shall not die. God will look after us." This is how the prophets of God, this is how other men have encouraged themselves in the Lord and their situation. They have looked away to the everlasting and unchangeable God. Is that not how they put it in their catechism, that God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth? He is forever the same. And we can encourage ourselves in the midst of our situation, whatever that situation may be, that we have a God who never changes. Spurgeon said, "I know nothing which can so comfort the soul, so calm the swelling billows of grief, so speak peace to the winds of trial, as a devout musing upon the subject of the Godhead." When we think of God's everlasting nature, the nature of his being, the nature of his existence, the nature of his continuance, his control, his care for his own people. Think of those words in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." God inhabits eternity. It's hard for us to take that in. But he's always there. He has always been there. He will always be there and forever the same. He inhabits eternity. And he's always in control. And this is underlined by Isaiah the prophet once again in Isaiah 46. I am God and there's none else. I am God and there's none like me. My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. What God has decreed, what God has planned, what especially concerns His own people, He's able to perform it His own. You think of the words of Habakkuk. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. There's no harm going to come to us. He will not cause His child to shed a needless tear. And the same thought is underlined by Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. What harm is going to come to you? God never changes in regard to His own people. He has looked after His own people in the past and He will always look after His people. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother and sister, because you're in Christ, you're safe. No harm will come to you. Ye shall not die. He will be forever the same. He loved you at Calvary. He loved you when He saved you. And He'll love you for the rest of your life and for all eternity. He'll never change. And your position before Him will never change. He loves you with an everlasting love. Therefore, child of God, be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Whatever the situation, He's still the same. His compassions fail not. They fail not. His mercies are new every morning. When you get up tomorrow morning, there'll be more mercies. And the next day, and the next week, next year, as long as you live, His mercies will be new every morning. He will be forever the same towards you. He loves you in Christ. God is still on the throne. And He will remember His own. Though trials may press us, and burdens distress us, He never will leave us alone. He shall not die. Habakkuk's encouragement. Habakkuk's expectancy. Habakkuk is in the spirit of prayer. He's encouraged as he looks away off to God, his unchanging God. He's also in the spirit of expectancy. Look at the opening words of chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what He will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's going to wait for an answer. He's not away discouraged. He's going to wait on God for an answer. He's watching and waiting. And the answer came in verse 2. The Lord answered me. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God had a plan. God encouraged His servant to keep watching and waiting and expecting until He came. Though it tarry, the Lord says, it shall come. But he must wait. And while he does so, he continues to pray. In the opening words of chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shagaine oath. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. He continues to pray. He's encouraged now in prayer. He has a burden to pray. He continues to pray. He continues to pray for a change. He continues to pray for God to move, that God would bring new life in among them and revive them. He's still burdened. He's still watching. He's still waiting. He's still expecting God to work. And he is resigned to waiting. As you see at the end of the book, in verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, even though the situation continues to be dire and dark, even if things remain the same, he will not remain in defeat. He says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He is not resigned to defeat. He is still rejoicing. He is resigned to God's will, God's plan, God's timing. And he continues to look to God for a brighter future, still expecting God to move. And brothers and sisters, as we close this morning, we want to encourage you through the life of Habakkuk. Whatever that burden is upon your heart, continue in prayer. God will encourage you. Since God has decreed to bless his people, he has also decreed that someone should pray for that blessing. And God will always find someone somewhere with a burden to pray on until he blesses us. And the trouble is that many of us are so soon filled with doubt and fears we give in, but let us not give in. Let us look away off from our situation to a great God of heaven who is still upon the throne, who has a plan and who has promised, though it tarry, it shall come. He will bless us. He will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Do you believe that, brethren and sisters? Then let us continue in prayer. If God has given you a burden for some matter or some situation, whatever that is, some soul, this mission approaching, some situation, then, brethren and sisters, you continue in prayer. And God will encourage you. And God will answer, though it tarry, it shall come. Let us close with the singing of the hymn number 623. 623, God is here, and that to bless us with his Spirit's quickening power. We'll stand as we sing the hymn number 623. Father, we commit ourselves, our lives, our burdens afresh into thy care. We pray that thou wilt be pleased to visit us in these days with revival. Help us, Lord, to continue in prayer as thou hast encouraged us even afresh this morning. We pray that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon us in these days and work among us and revive thy church. Bless us, Lord, as we separate one from the other, and be with us throughout this thy day until we meet again. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.